You know what they need, which is education, a lecture, to be told what to do. But you, as you can tell, that's what I'm suggesting is the problem. That's exactly what they don't need. And that leads to the misalignment and then the rupture. And it comes, if you give this lecture or this any of these disciplinary measures, this happens at a critical moment when the child needs something else. They need support. If they're overexcited, if something is missing, right? They can't regulate themselves. So they have a need. They have a longing. And this is when they're most vulnerable. And they don't say this, and you don't know this. And this is why I said these are tools that I'm actually giving you, because now you do know this. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Narcissism Decoder. I'm your host, Dr. Anthony Mazzella. In this episode, we'll explore common issues parents face with their children, such as tantrums, defiance, screen addiction, your daughter is dating guys who you feel are trouble, your son is quote-unquote experimenting with drugs or alcohol, which he purchases with his fake ID. You get the point. In short, they don't really listen to anything you have to say, and you're left with a general feeling that they're heading down the wrong path. We will delve into why traditional solutions may not be effective, and I share a few tools and techniques that I have found to be incredibly helpful in terms of fostering healthier parent-child relationships. So let's jump right into things. What are these traditional solutions? What is it that I'm referring to here? Tell me if this sounds familiar. Here are a few examples. If your child is having a tantrum, you should ignore the tantrum. Or you should establish clear rules and consequences for disrespectful behavior. Set firm limits on screen time and implement clear and consistent consequences for not following instructions, such as timeout or loss of privileges, because you need to teach your child the importance of obedience and responsibility. Encourage open dialogue about the impact of, and here you can fill in the blank, drinking, drugs, whatever it might be. But overall, you want to encourage an open dialogue about the impact that this is going to have on their health and well-being. Now, in general, that one seems pretty reasonable to me. But just as a quick aside, oftentimes, from what I hear, is parents think that they're encouraging open dialogue. But when you get very close to this and you listen to the details of these discussions, this dialogue is not really open. It's more educational, or I would say more like a lecture from a teacher who's an authority figure, for instance, to a student who inherently knows less. I think you get the point here. This is not necessarily an open dialogue. Offer incentives or rewards for completing assignments. Now again, this is why I'm digressing just a moment, but in terms of offering incentives or rewards, this is why so many, and you may have heard this, cognitive behavioral treatment, CBT, right? These treatments do not always produce long-term results. A parent with whom I recently consulted summed it up quite nicely. This is what she said. It worked for a little while. Right. And that's typically what happens, because with many of these programs, like this suggestion of offer incentives or rewards, they reward positive behavior. And that does work for a little while because there's external supplies that are coming in. And this is good until the supplies stop. And again, just another note on this, this is also good to some extent if you're looking to foster compliance. Right? Because what you get then is a compliant child. And by the way, I'm saying that in a way that is not necessarily helpful, because compliance often leads to resentment. So why are none of these approaches producing long-term positive effects? From my perspective, and this is, as you all know, a biased perspective because I'm a psychoanalyst, And that's the perspective that I typically take. But my response to many parents, just like you, is the problem you are attempting to fix is not the problem. All the issues I just mentioned, like the not listening to you, the defiance, all of that stuff, these issues are not the problem. So what do we need to do? We need to identify and explore latent issues. These are issues that are just below the surface. Now look, I know that this must sound strange for you to hear, because you're probably saying, this guy is crazy. Of course it's the problem. But all of these behaviors are the outcome of the problem. They're like a symptom. And if you can open your mind to thinking about it this way, I will share with you one possible cause of these problems. In other words, what's the real problem? And by the way, I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit here, but this is also a tool or a technique, because I get many questions from listeners. Can you suggest tools and techniques? So this actually is a tool and a technique, because if you can open your mind like I had just encouraged you to do, you begin to think about these behaviors not as the problem that need to be eradicated, right, or disciplined, but then you're more open to considering, okay, what is the actual problem here? What's going on? So here is one possible cause, because every child is unique and every parent-child dyad has its own unique dynamics at play. So this is one perspective on these problems, these behavioral problems that I just mentioned. In my research and in doing this work with parents in my private practice, I have observed over and over that the real problem, remember, this is the latent issue, is in the relationship. There's a rupture in the bond. The bond is the most important thing for the infant, developing child, the adolescent. They need to attach. They need to bond. They need to feel understood. Because of this rupture, the child experiences an affective misattunement, thereby triggering a sudden state of stress, a state of deflation, a state of confusion, a state of something. We don't know what it is because they don't even have the words to articulate it. In other words, they don't know how to even express what's going on verbally. So they express it through behavior because they don't know how to manage what's going on inside of them. And I'm going to say more about this, so don't worry. I'm going to go into more detail about this rupture and this affective misattunement. But at this moment, what I'm emphasizing and encouraging all of you to consider is, this is the real problem, the latent issue. This is what's going on behind the behaviors that I described a moment ago. This is a state inside of the child that you may or may not see. You may not see it because it comes out in their behavior. They smoke it away. They get into abusive relationships. They become picky eaters, or they refuse to eat at all. And by the way, this is what's commonly confused as the problem that we think that we're trying to address. And I'm sorry I keep going over this, but I want to make this piece pretty clear, which is all of these things, the abusive relationships, the picky eater, these are all the outcome of the problem. Now, okay, so you may be saying, wait a minute, you may be asking, what is this rupture? I'm always very attuned to my child. And in fact, sometimes my child is the boss. So there's no rupture there. In other words, like a parent may object to this saying, there's no rupture, right? In fact, my child is the boss, meaning I'm always there, attentive. Whatever the child needs, I give it to them. Actually, so let's stay with this for a moment, okay? The child is the boss. This is something that needs to be understood quite closely, but in general, this is just in general, the child as the boss may actually be the rupture. What do I mean? That the child is the boss, we have to think, does that mean that they're in an agitated state? They have to have things their way? they are behaving in an omnipotent and grandiose way, like a demanding boss, a boss who wants to wield all the power in the family. And by the way, I don't know if you noticed, but this is the Narcissism Decoder, so we have to link this somehow to narcissism. And you may have been waiting for this, but you heard what I just snuck in there, which is that they're behaving in an omnipotent and grandiose way. So they are too elevated, and this is where they need help. Yes, that's right. That's what I said, help. And if you've listened to any of my earlier podcasts when I'm talking about living with a narcissist, this is as an adult, I always encourage and helping your partner instead of just walking away from them or creating a boundary. That's kind of like a timeout, by the way, for a child. But let me not digress. Help them manage their grandiosity. They need help bringing themselves back to earth. But typically, this is done in a way that the parent has to assert their own authority. And that turns into a battle. That if you, meaning you as the parent, wins, if you win this battle, this could lead to shame and humiliation, a feeling of being defeated. And this, in fact, as you can imagine, is not what they need. Hence the rupture in the relationship. So herein lies the rupture due to a misattunement. In other words, when a parent consistently fails to respond to the child's need, in this case of the boss, quote unquote, the boss, the need is for what? The child, the adolescent, even a loved one of yours, there's a need for a gradual regulation of the omnipotent feelings. If this misattunement is consistent and prolonged, and you continue to win these battles with timeouts, punishments, in adult life, this is creating a boundary, walking away, this feeling of being defeated, if the child feels defeated, this becomes a problem. And slowly, this is interwoven into the fabric of the child's personality. Okay, I hope that made sense, but you may have heard me talk about this before. But in short, what they begin to do is internalize a defeated sense of self. So let's define this a little bit further in case it's still not clear. Affective misattunement. This starts with unfulfilled expectations. Expectations to be what? Held, fed, and not just fed, fed with love, regulated, which is what I was just talking to you about, regulating a heightened state of arousal when they are getting to be too much of the boss. In other words, they need regulation. When any of these factors goes missing, example, what? The child is playing, for instance, and he makes a mess. He's making a mess. Or your child arrives home past curfew, your daughter is dating a guy whom you don't approve of. What do you do? What do you do at these moments? You lecture. You think you're talking to them, or you discipline them. In my field, the field of psychoanalysis, we call this an affective misattunement. In other words, there's a disconnect or a lack of emotional alignment between you and your child, leading to difficulties in understanding and responding then to the child's emotional needs. So you're not really responding to what they need. And you think you know what they need, which is education, a lecture, to be told what to do. But you, as you can tell, that's what I'm suggesting is the problem. That's exactly what they don't need. And that leads to the misalignment and then the rupture. And it comes, if you give this lecture or this any of these disciplinary measures, this happens at a critical moment when the child needs something else. They need support. If they're overexcited, if something is missing, right? They can't regulate themselves. So they have a need. They have a longing. And this is when they're most vulnerable. And they don't say this, and you don't know this. And this is why I said, these are tools that I'm actually giving you, because now you do know this. Now, when your child gets into this agitated state or becomes the boss, you know that they need something. This misattunement may lead to many internal, difficult to detect, painful experiences. So you don't even know it leads to these painful experiences. Like, for instance, it could lead to, and I mentioned this already, shame or humiliation. This is what we call in my field a shame response. The shame to want something, to expect something, to make oneself so vulnerable as to long for something, they really want to get something from you, but then it's not there. It's not available. And that also could lead to, again, in my field, what we call a stress state. And stress is defined as a threat. And what's the threat here? The threat is that they become vulnerable. They turn to you. They don't turn to you with words and express themselves in terms of what they really need. They turn to you with behavioral problems because they don't have the language to articulate what's going on inside of them. And then they're filled with a sense of stress because all this is going sort of uncontained. And oftentimes this presents as diffuse distress, like what? Unfocused attention, hyperarousal, or even hypoarousal. So they could be overstimulated or they could be understimulated. In other words, they withdraw, right? Because when they feel ashamed or humiliated because of this rupture, because of the misattunement, they begin to withdraw from friends, from family, and from activities. Or they frequently make careless mistakes in one's activities, in their activities of everyday life, because of this diffuse distress. So this is why many of the suggestions you hear or read about on social media, such as, and I mentioned this earlier, review is always helpful, such as ignore the tantrum, establish clear rules and consequences for disrespectful behavior, teach your child the importance of obedience and responsibility. None of this stuff is going to help in the long run with the real problem. Remember, that's what I said is the latent issue. You're just dealing with manifest behavioral representations of what's going on inside of them that they can't articulate. And that's where they need you the most. What I'm suggesting is the cause, quote unquote, the cause of the misbehavior. In fact, it may further intensify. So if you apply any of these suggestions that I just went over, it can actually further intensify the misattunement and therefore undermines the relationship and undermines the child, leaving them feeling insecure, alone, ashamed, humiliated, and distressed. Possibly, unless they have really good ego resources and a high frustration tolerance, right? Then they can bounce back from something like this, from these little misalignments. But that seems unlikely because we are talking about children or adolescents who are actually having problems. So what are the tools and techniques? Here comes the question, right? But you know the answer to this already. What are the tools and techniques that I find to be most helpful? All of what I've been talking about already. Remember what I said at the beginning. This is the tool. In other words, if you are more attuned to your child's inner needs and internal struggles, that puts you in a position to respond differently now, to try something new, to not continue to just discipline, to not use that alone, and for you not to need to win every battle. If you can imagine that rupture and misattunement are not the real problem, then the goal, my goal, you know, when I'm helping parents like this, is what? Remember, I always say the mechanism of cause is the mechanism of cure. So if rupture and misattunement are the cause, what's the cure? The cure becomes, in my mind, from this one approach, remember, there are many different ways to tackle this, but the approach is to resynchronize and reestablish the union with the child. That's the goal. And I can assure you that this is no easy task. It's much easier to tell a parent to set firm boundaries. And that's why that's so commonly suggested in the social media content. It's sort of not really a sophisticated solution, in my humble opinion. But if you can resynchronize, remember I said this is not easy because you have to think, parents, as I mentioned earlier when I talked about over-explaining or giving a lecture, parents need to do things for their own reasons, their own internal reasons, and that needs to be explored and discussed as well so that then we can position them to resynchronize and reestablish a union with the child. And when things go accordingly, what I typically see, once the caregiver can muster up the courage to be more responsive, the link is reconnected and the shame, anxiety, or whatever state is going on inside the child, whatever the underlying feeling may be, can now be metabolized. It can be digested. It could be managed. And the child recovers from the injury to their narcissism, and actually they recover quite quickly. Anyway, there's so much more to be said on this very complicated topic, but we have to stop here for today. If you think you would benefit from an individualized treatment plan designed to help you create a strong and loving relationship with your child or adolescent, and maybe even your partner, right? Because this stuff all applies to adults as well. Feel free to contact me directly. I would be happy to help you out. If you want to learn more about the various facets of narcissism, please be sure to subscribe to this podcast or check out my videos on YouTube. I release content there as well. I know this stuff is undoubtedly complex. So if I said anything today that confused you, please reach out, share your questions, share your story. I would love to hear it. And I've mentioned this in earlier episodes that it's your questions and your stories that fuel this podcast and keep it going. So of course, I would be delighted to hear from you. Also, one more thing before we wrap up. Since this podcast is in such early days and I'm still learning, I mean, I've been doing the psychoanalysis for over 20 years. I've been studying and treating patients, but I'm new to this whole thing with putting out this content. So feel free to help me along the way. If you would like shorter episodes, longer episodes, more clinical, or let me say practical suggestions or tools or techniques, I'm very flexible and I'm open to suggestions. So please, again, always feel free to keep in touch with me. But we have to stop there for now. As always, engage your mind, not your ego. Until next time, bye for now. Disclaimer alert. The Narcissism Dakota podcast is provided for general information purposes only. The content presented in this podcast is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any psychological condition related to narcissism. The content on this podcast should not be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. For specific advice pertaining to narcissism or any other psychological condition, you could reach me directly. I am an experienced mental health practitioner who is always taking on new patients. If you would just like a consultation, I can do that too.